Hello and welcome to the 8th episode of the Warframe Ninja podcast. I'm your host, British Bob, and today I have with me River Rat.
Hello.
Awesome.
Hello.
And joining us new is Cortex.
Hello. Relatively new to Warframe, just got to Mastery Rank 18, and just here for another set of viewpoints.
Sweet. And with that, we'll get started. Wake up, Tenno! As always, just before we start, shout out to AM Bunny for the dev stream overview. We'll have a link in the YouTube description and in the thread. Also, a quick advert for Angels of Death, the clan we're all from. You can find us on the forums or at our site, clanaod.net. So, first thing on the agenda, I think, is the only patch we've had in 2 weeks, basically. Introducing a few interesting topics, Wukong.
Yeah, and there's a lot on the patch or the update, you know, considering it's the last one until 18, which should be coming out here in a couple days.
Yeah, it's nice to have a new frame in the game, kind of prior to 18, just kind of as a last update 17 hurrah kind of a thing. But I actually am probably one of the few people that like the way that they set him up to get him and like the resources required. Just because basically by the time most people will get him done, at least researched in the dojo, it'll be update 18. And I think that's what they were aiming for, instead of putting out two warframes on update 18, to do one a little bit before and have it take a little bit of time for you to finish the research.
I don't think that it was a bad way to get him in the game. I think that the requirements for a Moon Clan are pretty crazy, but I mean, we're knocking it out. You know, we got a Moon Clan or whatever, and we're 850 plus members, so we're just about finished with all the Nightane for the blueprint. Mm-hmm. And originally I think it was like 500 Nightane, so. That's, we got, 40 or 50 members logged in at any given time whenever these alerts come out. So we're chipping away at it. So I don't think that was a bad idea to have him put in the game the way he does.
Yeah, it adds a new resource too, which opens up other stuff it could be used for.
It's like, personally, the way he was released was a bit annoying. I'm still not convinced it's kind of worth the time. I threw money at the game or plat at the screen and brought him because
I ended up buying him as well, just because I didn't feel like waiting and
same.
I'm still helping out the clan, but I had the plat, so I might as well just go ahead and spend it. I just wanted to see what he was like, and turns out I really like him. I think he's mm-hmm. a great frame.
Yeah. On the subject of spending the plat for him, I believe he's 215. And if you don't, or if you can't wait for the research to be done, or it's just going really slow in the clan or whatever, just go farm prime parts and sell them cheap. You can sell parts for 10, 15 plat each. Just like really cut down on the price on them, and you'll get that 200 plat in no time. So you could really easily just farm the platinum to buy him just from running void missions. So
I ended up selling a full set of Trinity Prime, and then I sold that for like 200 platinum, and then I just had the extra plat there, so it worked out in my favor. But he's a pretty good frame. He's definitely not the kind of frame you want to take to a spy mission. I mean, everybody's saying he's got stealth elements, but that the fog, the cloud walking skill, like it's really not a stealth ability. It's more like an ocean button.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can. It's not a like really really good stealth ability. It can be used as stealth, especially if you have a really high efficiency and duration build. Like I've brought him into spy missions just to see, and he does work. It's just different. Like usually when I'm playing him, I use that as a stun to just kind of get stuns off on enemies that are close by me if I need to revive somebody or something. So
Yeah, I didn't. I try to take them to the spy missions, and even in Cloudwalker form, you still set off. Yep. You still set off alarms, and because the range on the Cloudwalking is so big, like when you're in the data vault, if you turn your Cloudwalking on, you can set off the lasers in the room next to where you're at, like unintentionally. So the range on it is just too big. It's not smart to use the cloud walking when you're in the data vault. But, you know, other than that, like I said, like you were saying, I kind of just used the cloud walker just to, you know, quickly stun the enemies and then come right back out of it and take them out. Or, oh shit, you know, it's definitely a good oh shit button, which he has Defy on top of that. So,
yeah, I was actually going to touch on that too. He's incredibly tanky. If you have a correct build on him, it's almost impossible to die as long as you have energy. Like currently with the build that I have, I went with a duration build with an intensify and a streamline, so similar to what you would do on just any other like duration based build. I do have a streamline in there for a little bit of efficiency to cut down on the casting cost. But, I mean, it turns out it gets to the point where if you have the means to heal yourself while you're in that invulnerability timer, it gets to the point where it's almost impossible for you to die. Because with the rage mod on him, when you take that health damage, you're always going to have the energy to get yourself that health regen from Defy again. So it really gets to a point in... Our other trainer, Stoybot, put up a post about it, how to basically break him and make it so it's impossible to die using the Furious augments and like the healing that you get from those like Syndicate augment mods. But yeah, does it need to be fixed? Probably a little bit. but I mean, we have invulnerability in other characters as well, so you just have to use another ability.
Any thoughts, Cortex?
I mean, I don't have him yet. I have plenty to do at the moment, so I'm not one of those people with issues about the resource and how it works and how we get to it. For me, it's something for us to be able to have a more sense of achievement when we actually finish it.
So, unlike the old guard here, you enjoy working towards him.
Yeah, definitely. It's incentive seeing some people who've bought him like to get the job done because he looks like a fun frame. But at the same time, I have enough to do without the need to kind of to have him now.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I say, I brought him in, I've sort of instantly put him back down because I don't really want another tank. I have other frames I'd probably rather use than an ability-based invulnerability frame.
Yeah.
Well, you get Valkyr, you've got Chroma, like you say, and Mesa, and I just, alright, yeah, I was hoping for something maybe a bit more unique.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. He is melee-based, he's very, very similar to Valkyr, which I was kind of a little bit disappointed with, honestly. It is basically the male version of Valkyr, with an invisibility option.
Oh, I'm not going to lie, out of that first ability, I have seen some silly numbers. I put a strength build on mine, and you know, you're looking at 3,000-5,000 damage out of it. So it's all right, I suppose. But we had, speaking of other tanks, we ended up with the skin for Rhino.
Yeah. And they fixed his iron skin appearance to fit that as well, which was supposed to be delayed until they update him. But enough people kind of complained about it that they just went ahead and applied the change cosmetically.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I think the only reason that I'm disappointed in the skin is, I mean, I'm probably the only one that is, but I mean, the skin is all well and good, but... I don't use Rhino very often, but when I do, I have the Arcane Vanguard helmet, and so like that new skin without the new skin helmet, it looks really dumb. Yeah, it looks bad with that the mix of the Arcane Vanguard and that new skin. So as much as I like cosmetics, I'm not gonna sacrifice how I look for you know, that much run speed increase. So.
Yeah, well, it's going to be kind of... I'll have to see how they rework him, if they're going to increase his run speed base when you do that, but still, you're still going to want to use the Vanguard. Going, it goes back to that, what we talked about, I believe, a couple podcasts ago, where you need to be able to, for these old arcane helmets, you need to be able, because you can't get them anymore, so you should be able to, if you have one, be able to rip the arcane out of it and put it into something else, because there's a lot more stuff in the game now than there was back then that you would want to use instead of that item. So you shouldn't be, just like, basically rip it out and turn it into an arcane enchantment.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that would be a great idea. It'd be a great solution to the problem that I'm having. You know, I do want to use the rhino skin helmet, the premium skin helmet, but like I said, I'm just not willing to give up that run and, boost.
And just a note on that, it should be restricted to only going on to a frame of whatever it came off of. So if you took it off a rhino Vanguard helmet, it can only be placed on a rhino helmet. Like, so you can't take a Vanguard arcane off the rhino helmet and put it on a Loki helmet to make them even faster. It would have to be the same frame.
Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing something like that. I wouldn't mind it at all.
Yeah, because the same reason why I haven't looked at getting any arcane helmets, like, at all. It's something that I kind of have been looked at just to get them. But, I mean, I have no interest really in using them because me as a designer and have had a lot of graphic background, I like the way that different helmets look, and I don't want to be bound to one specific helmet because it might not fit with the style that I'm going for with that or something. So, like, I would love to get the Aura helmet for Trinity, for my blessing, Trinity, for the extra couple of seconds for the duration, but it looks like crap on Trinity Prime. Yep. So it's just
the problem I have. Like, I really like the Trinity Prime helmet, but I have the Arcane Aurora, whatever the heck it is, for her, and I'm not willing to sacrifice my stats for the appearance. But it's constantly annoying to have to, you know, go back to that, to look at it the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, on these topics, for me, I don't play Rhino enough for me to justify buying that skin. I'm a bit disappointed that the melee weapon and cape aren't available separately.
Are they not?
I can't find them. I may be blind, but I can't find them.
I don't know if I could check, because I have the entire pack.
For me, coming from like other MMOs, I think it's a bit standard MMO fare now to like choose your cosmetics, look what you look like, and then choose your stat line. It seems strange to kind of be still trapped in that fairly old mentality of trapping someone for stats by looking awful.
Yeah, agreed.
You see, I just straight up don't like the skin. I brought it, put it on, and went, there's something about this I just don't like.
Oh, so you don't like it?
No, I don't like it. I prefer my Rubido skin.
So I'm not alone then.
I don't like the skin either.
I've been bouncing back and forth. I like the design of the skin. I like the new iron skin look better. I think the skin fits him very well, but me never using Rhino, I don't see me using it even after the Rhino rework, just because I just won't use the frame.
Yeah, that's kind of the boat that I'm in. I don't use Rhino very often, and I don't see myself wanting to use him just because I think he looks cool. So it all depends on the rework. Do you guys have any idea of what they're going to be changing on him? Does anybody know?
From what I've heard and what I've gathered, talking with Steve through Twitter and what he said on like the dev streams and stuff, they want to change his iron skin to be a lot more useful and have it have kind of the same act as the Frost Globe, where it has that invulnerability timer at the beginning to kind of give it a little bit more tanky, and then possibly, I would say they would have to do this, but make it based off of armor values as well as power strength, just like the Frost Globe, to make it stronger, because currently you pop it and it's Tower 4 is gone, like, instantly. So just basically tanking that ability and buffing it up quite a bit, so it's actually useful. The only other one that I heard was getting his Rhino Charge to act more like Atlas's Landslide, where it's not a single straight like dash where it'll track to enemies, but you can cast it over and over again at a reduced cost. So you can kind of pinball your way through enemies, which I think is a little bit better.
Yeah.
It sucks for like one of our clanmates, Metal, who loves his Rhino and has a full duration build on it and can clear pretty much any tile with one charge. Right. It just throws them so far. It might not do that anymore, but it'll give the ability a little bit more usefulness rather than if you do build him that way for the duration for the distance in your charge and the roar duration for the damage buff. If you do hit charge, it's not going to send you a mile away from where you started. So yeah, we'll have to see. That's what I've gathered so far. I'm not sure if it's exactly what they're going to be doing, but that's what I've heard. I haven't seen anything about his stomp or his roar yet. It's just been those first two abilities.
That's pretty cool though. I look forward to that. I mean, I probably won't use them even afterwards, but still be cool just to have that there. Mm-hmm. I wonder if more people will start using them again.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they changed Saren, and I've seen a shit ton more Sarens than there used to be, and she's less powerful than she was before. So just because it's new and updated, you'll see a lot more people using it.
I'm not even going to get into that. I don't think she's as powerful as she was before, but she's still good.
Yep, she's still very good.
Speaking of Saren, she's got a premium skin, and all the rest of them came back as well.
Boo!
Yeah, so that's kind of crap, man. Like, I bought the skin under the impression that it was limited, and I mean, it shouldn't really matter all that much. It's kind of just a, you know, exclusive thing. I liked having, you know, the exclusive skin, you know?
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of our clanmates with it and that have been excited for it, and they didn't really think that they should be exclusive. And what I've always said was they came out with certain items, advertised it as being exclusive, and they were there for a short amount of time, then they went away. So the people that bought them were under the assumption that they were here and then gone until the next time they came out again the next year. Just like the Proto Armor and the Nemesis Nyx skin. It was a yearly thing. It came out every year about the same time for like a week. So it wasn't like a one-time thing and then it's done. It's a yearly thing.
Right.
The other thing, so basically it shows
that
a player is supporting the game and they can kind of use it to show how long they've been playing the game. It's kind of a cool thing to kind of just show off, kind of, look, I've been playing this game for this long. I have this cool item that was available a year ago, and it's currently not here, but it'll be here again. So it's just kind of that yearly update thing. The other issue that I had with it is when they came out, before they showcased the Trinity skin, the Saren skin, and the Rhino skin, like when they were still just concept art, they polled the community. Should it be permanent or should it be exclusive, like timed exclusives? And enough of the community said exclusives for them to do it that way. And I'm wondering why they went back and did the opposite now when apparently most of the community wanted it, like limited time offers on this stuff.
Because it's a money grab.
Yeah. So it's just kind of one of those weird things. And I'm kind
of... As I like the, you know, it's... I guess I can't blame them. It kind of sucks for the people that were expecting it to be exclusive and, you know, for the reasons that you've said.
Well, it's just a little scary because they did it with these. What else? Because I don't think we talked about this last podcast, and I don't see it in our outline here, but the Vault Access, like V-A-U-L-T, Vault Access, for Prime stuff that has been previously released and then vaulted and is coming back, like the Rhino stuff that got vaulted, so Rhino Prime, Latron Prime, Reaper Prime, are going back on the drop tables for a month. That's cool, but they're also coming out with a pack that's 50 bucks, 60 bucks.
Hang on, sorry to interrupt. Did you say Rhino or Frost?
Frost.
Frost, yeah. You said Rhino, you meant Frost.
Oh, Frost, yes, Frost. But yeah, they're coming out with a $50, $60 Vault Access Pack that's giving players things that were previously exclusive in Prime Access accessory packs, like the Misa Sindana and the Titan Extractor Prime. Something that was supposed to be exclusive to that accessory or that Prime Access and is now coming back again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of scary, I guess, that they're saying they're advertising certain things as exclusives and you can only get it here, and now we're getting them released again. Even though you still have to pay for the pack, it's still available, and people that have spent the money that early on in the game, because Misa was the Ember one, I think.
Ember, yeah, it's the only one that I don't own.
Yeah, it was the first one of the first ones, yeah. So for somebody to pay money, real money, for something that was advertised exclusive and kind of risk paying that money on a game that's that early on, and then to have that same item released later is kind of, I don't know, a slap in the face.
Yeah.
Because they bought it under the impression of that's the only time you're ever going to be able to get it. So
can I ask? Because it comes down to the definition of exclusive, you know, and limited time. It doesn't stop it being from, like, limited time another time.
No, yeah, you are correct. However, they've had this argument before with one set of incredibly exclusive gear.
Tigris.
No, worse than that. Xcal Prime was sold as exclusive.
Yeah, and I guess that's where ultimately all the fear is right there, because, I mean, I don't even own Excalibur Prime, but if they were to re-release him, I think that would be a major, fuck the customers on DE's part. I mean, it would bring them tons of money, because I know I could tell you at least 100 people in our clan that would buy Excalibur Prime the first day he came out.
Yep.
You know, that's just our clan alone, let alone the entire, you know, the game. So, on principle, you know, even though I don't have Excalibur Prime and as much as I want them, I don't want to ever see him come out of that exclusive founder pack. Because the people that, you know, invested in the founder pack, they did that, you know, thinking that they were getting, truly exclusive content, you know, available only to founders. And, you know, they spent good, real money on that.
I say that as a worst-case scenario. Personally, I was incredibly pissed off that the Proto stuff's come back.
I was under the impression that that was anniversary stuff, because it goes back to Dark Sector. So it should be out every week, or every week that the anniversary rolls around.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking. You know, it's not particularly exclusive as such, because, you know, they bring it out in anniversaries, maybe Christmas if they wanted to reintroduce it. I kind of didn't see why they brought the Saren and the Valkyr skin as time limited. So I'm kind of happy that's come back permanently. But, I mean, I don't want to see more Xcal Primes. That's kind of my thing, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you have Excalibur Prime.
I do, yeah.
Well, I think that's the whole thing with Umbra, is hopefully Umbra will fix a lot of, or actually solve a lot of those kind of opinions on should Excalibur Prime come back, because he's basically going to be, I guess, Excalibur Prime, but a dark Excalibur Prime. So hopefully that will solve that issue of we need Excalibur Prime to come back, is like where you have one and it looks better than the regular one anyway. So hopefully that'll fix it. But yeah,
I don't think it will. I mean, there's always going to be the people out there complaining, yep, saying that they think that Excalibur Prime should be available again. These are the Care Bears, though. You know, it's I think that it's an exclusive content, and if they came back out, I mean, I don't even know why we're really talking about this, because they haven't stated that they're going to bring them back out. So I guess we'll just have some faith in DE that they'll do the right thing and not go for the money grab.
Yeah, I personally, at least going back to the skins, the Valkyr and Saren skin, I personally think Nemesis and Proto should have stayed like limited once a year. The Valkyr and Saren skins, I'm not super like annoyed about, because they've been recent. But if they were planning to release all these full time anyway, why were they limited time in the first place? That's the issue that I had with it, was these are both brand new skins and they were both limited time offer, especially the Saren one. And they came off the market, and then like a week later, they're back on permanent. It's like, why were they even limited time in the first place? Why didn't you just automatically just put those permanent skins in right off the bat?
So, Cortex, did you have any of these skins?
Not previously. I got the one for X-Scale because I liked it. I'm half whether or not, what's her name? Saren's I got, actually. I liked that
Valkyr?
A lot. Valkyr. Yeah, I wasn't convinced, and I didn't like Rhinos. Nyx is meh. The problem is that those skins, the metallics on them just water down color choice really badly.
Yeah, I've noticed that actually with all the PBR stuff. Like Frost now looks weird. It's like he almost has a coating of like gloss coat over the top of his entire frame, like almost like a film. Like it doesn't show colors very well anymore. It's super shiny, yes, but colors just are fucked up on the new PBR stuff, at least for Warframes.
So if I could colour them better, then sure. If I could make Rhino's skin not look like someone ate in a seafood buffet and thrown it up on him. But then again, I was never enamoured with him. I'd only recently got hold of the Prime. I've potatoed him. I haven't continued playing him yet.
Fair point, to be fair. So, moving on slightly, I think the only major thing other than the skins and Wukong they introduced in 17.12 was the two-factor authentication, which I think is long overdue.
Now, what is this?
Two-factor authentication. Let me read. Where is this?
It's basically like another layer of security stuff. It was they wanted to get it out and running before the app came, so that if you're, because now your phone is going to be linked to your account in Warframe. Just like another security layer to it, I think.
Oh, kind of like those for other games, they have them USB cards that you have to plug in to log in.
Yeah, something similar. I think in this instance, I've not actually started it yet. I probably should. You get an app on your phone, for example, that generates a code for you. And then when you log in or try to log in, it just asks you to input the code off your phone. It's just another level of security. It's not a particularly complex level of security, but it's nice to have another level of security on accounts which, with all of these skins in that, are becoming quite valuable, so to speak.
Yeah, without a doubt, I can't complain or whatever about extra security. As long as it's not too much of a hassle.
As long as it's optional. The problem that I have is, like, I lead sometimes a very active lifestyle, go out clubbing, whatever. Phones get lost, broken. I cannot depend on that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think it depends on how they do it, too. Because from what I've seen from it, it's the main reason for doing it was because now if you have the Nexus app on your phone and you're logged in on that, your phone has access to your account. So if you do lose your phone or something, then anybody could just log into your account and screw you up your entire like thing. So I think that's part of it is because now you're going to be not just on your computer, but it's going to be on a mobile device as well, where it's going to be accessible by anybody that has the phone, unless you have that extra layer of security to kind of help prevent stuff from happening. So it's just going to be how they or what type of authentication they're going to use for it.
Let me find out for you, because I've literally just enabled it.
Oh, is it optional?
It is optional, yes.
Oh, okay.
You're currently a Warframe user.
Like I say, I welcome it. It's just a phone is not a great way to do it for me. I mean, banking works in the same way. If you want to do your internet banking these days, most banks give you a device that gives you your two-factor code. But it's like a calculator. It runs on light.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it's just a simple email currently.
I mean, other games use email re-verification and such, and that could be an option for people like me.
Yep. Right, so just to confirm, the two-factor authentication is location-based email. So it sends an email to your registered email account saying that you're trying to access from a new computer.
It's like a... it's like what Steam does. When you try to log in on a different computer with Steam, it has to send you a code that then you enter from that computer to allow access. That's cool. So,
yeah, reasonably basic, but if somebody tries to nab your account, then brilliant.
Yeah, they have to have access to your email as well.
And if they have access to your email, there's not a lot you can stop at that point.
That's cool. I like that. I really like that about Steam, too. It is annoying, though, like, for me recently, at least for that, with switching computers all the time, because one computer went out, then I went to a laptop, and then that laptop went out, and then I got my computer back when it got fixed, and then, yeah, I had to do that code about 6 or 7 times in about a span of a month. But other than that, it's a great system.
So, should we move on to the dev stream? Wasn't too much we haven't already seen, I'm honest.
Yeah, we could probably run through it really quick.
Yeah, there was no real surprises. They're kind of just gearing up for 18.
A lot of the... I forgot I was going to grab Steve's spoiler pictures that he he screwed around with on the dev stream. But other than that, yeah. Nexus app, they sent it out for approval, I guess. So should be here next week once it passes whatever tests that Google and the Apple Store have to have it updated. So should be here next week.
So Ivara looks pretty freaking sweet. Gotta say that.
Mm-hmm.
That's her name, right? Ivara?
I think they're going to do... In the dev stream, they still didn't figure out if it was Ivara or Ivara. I personally like Ivara. But yeah, it's a very, very good name. It's personally, I like it better than Artemis or Willow.
Yeah, those are the two names, just a bit generic.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of Artemis.
Like a lot of fun, though. I think I'm going to be spending a lot of time playing her.
Yeah,
she's probably, I can see it already that she's probably going to be one of my favorite frames. I mean, I'm a Loki fan, so you know, the stealth is not really stealth in this game to begin with. So she might make it a little more. Make it a little more fun just to play around with it.
Yeah, coming from somebody that loved the first three Assassin's Creed games, she reminds me a lot of kind of the playstyle in Assassin's Creed with like that kind of, I don't know.
I like that being
just the manipulation. The manipulation and pickpocketing and stuff like that. I've been waiting for a good kind of complex. Stealth frame. But yeah, I'm excited for her, and I'm not interested in Loki or Ashe, to be honest. So having something that you can kind of really accentuate your own playstyle with will be nice, because you can basically play her any way that fits your playstyle. You can play her all out, you can play her stealth, you can play her as a looting frame, you can play her as kind of like a Nyx with like a mind control type thing with the different arrows. A whole bunch of different stuff.
So I watched that dev stream and thought the combination of those arrows is going to be incredibly useful.
Mm-hmm. And once you learn to and get used to be able to switch between them quickly and effectively, you'll be able to pull off a lot of cool stuff.
I think the coolest thing is, like, for example, the stealth arrows, you can stick them to stuff. So people were controlling the arrows and sticking them to sentinels. And then you've got a sentinel that gives you invisibility.
I wonder how good that would be in the Law of Retribution raid, or even the Jordas Verdict raid, if you went just with a max duration, max range build on her, just tanked your power strength and just as much range and duration as possible, and then stuck it to yourself or to your sentinel and be able to kind of cloak an entire group as long as they were within range.
Well, the range that Rebecca had was minimum range because it was max duration.
Yep, so she had neural mind on there.
So that's the smallest it will be, and it's still quite large.
Mm-hmm. It's about the range of, I guess, smoke screen with the augment, like the 5-10 meter radius, which is still decent. But yeah, with max range, that thing could get very, very big. I would say like frost globe size, maybe, or bigger.
I just have this image of an invisible Kubo just running around and...
Screw your Kavats. I got my invisible Kubro. Don't need stealth.
Well, that was one thing that wasn't coming. They confirmed there would be no
cats. No cats.
Yeah, the low on the priority list, so we'll probably see him about 18.5. Yeah. I'm not really excited about him anyways. They're just, it's for me, all it is a debuff to my favorite frame. You know. So
yeah, it's mastery.
I can see Loki. So
it's more mastery. I'm for the cat bros when they say no cat bros. I'm not really disappointed about that. I'm disappointed in the Kavat handler because the new enemy. I really want to have a new enemy in the game, a new Grineer difficult enemy, and that might be waiting as well.
Well, we're gonna see some Sentience, I believe, in 18.
Yay! Yeah.
So that's a new enemy.
Speaking of harder content, sorry, go ahead.
No, let's go ahead.
I was gonna say, speaking of the harder content, the sorties got they did a video on what the sorties were, and you got to look at the drop tables. One of the rotations for the drop tables included parts for Wraith and Vandal weapons. The one that was currently shown was the Carrick Wraith parts and the Dera Vandal parts, along with like Legendary Core, 25 Fusion Cores, and some other stuff, but some really, really good rewards to come out of it, and I'm wondering if showing the Vandal and Wraith weapons, if the Wraith weapons are going to be moved over to the sorties for the drop tables instead of having them as tactical alerts like we do now. It'd be interesting. It'd be a cool way to get those weapons, was you'd have to run those missions to grab the parts.
So, I assume, Cortex, you don't have too many of these Wraith weapons.
No. I say this with hesitation because, I got the Wraith Machete and I was less than impressed.
Yeah, that's because it's a machete.
Yeah.
There's no kind way of putting it. It's a machete. It's based off of a bad weapon.
Yeah. Carrick wasn't much better. But the Latron Wraith was fantastic. The Gorgon Wraith was decent. Strun Wraith was pretty freaking good.
I assume we're going to get Vandal weapons in there as well.
Yep, the Dera Vandal was listed in there for its parts on the sorties.
So that means we're going to get things like the Quanta Vandal.
Yay.
And some of the really, really good weapons. I can't remember the other Vandal weapons, but...
Imperator.
Yeah.
Well, that's Formorian events. By the way, we had one of those. If somebody, I guess a lot of people didn't even know about it because it went by so fast, but we had one early last week, I think it was early last week. It was over in like 10 hours.
Oh, yeah, no, it didn't even last 10 hours. I think it was supposed to last 4 days, and it lasted like 4 to 8 hours, something like that. It was ridiculously fast.
I remember seeing it, and I was like, I was so tired. I was like, I'll go sleep and I'll get it when I wake back up, and it was gone when I woke up. I wasn't even asleep for that long, so I was like, oh wow, okay, never mind then, because I still need that Imperator Vandal. I keep missing him.
No, I'm looking forward to the difficulty increase and getting some hardcore groups together to, you know, hopefully not pub it.
Yeah. I'm very much interested in soloing them for even more of a challenge, because I was kind of wishing we could run raid solo, even though that technically wouldn't be possible, but having something that's so difficult and trying to run it solo and seeing how far you can get and if you can complete it. But Rebecca can complete it, so...
Well, no, she completed the first one.
Yeah, the first one, yes, but...
And yeah. She died a couple of times.
Yeah, and granted, she was using a Banshee, which isn't the most tanky...
Well, it wasn't really her build either.
I play a lot of Banshee, thus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't her build. It was a random player's build that won the sortie contest. And yeah, even with quick thinking, she's not the most tanky of frames. So
I'm thinking a CC Ember could probably just walk through them.
A Link Trinity.
Link Trinity, yeah.
Valkyr. I mean, there's a lot of them.
Even Banshee, just with better weapons, because...
Yeah. Or a Silence build.
Oh, I think that's about it for the dev stream. It was sort of more of the same. Oh. With...
trading relays. We skipped that one. Basically, new relay coming to the game, where a alternative to the trading or the trading chat, where you can still limited 50 players, which I kind of like because then it's more of a first come first serve type thing. But basically, you can go there, set up yourself as a trading post, list the stuff that you want to sell at the prices that you want them, and then kind of sit there. I don't know specifics. Like, I don't know if you can set your player there and then walk away and like from your keyboard and just kind of AFK it. Like, instead of logging off for the night, go set your character there overnight.
I'm kind of wondering how they're going to do that. Like, between if you're going to be able to switch instances of relays as well.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're in one relay and they don't have what you want, can you go to a different relay?
Same
relay, different instance, and then see what those other players have.
You can do that already. Just go to your game options and switch your server to a different region, and you get a different relay.
Well, there's more than one relay
in
each region.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's different instances of the same relay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if this trading relay has a limit of 50 people per server, then you're looking at very limited options, you know, so you're going to have to be able to move from instance to instance and not have to change regions, you know.
Secondary problem. I've seen this kind of setup before in Korean-based MMOs, and I'm going to say, unless they're very clever, it's not pretty.
Well, I mean, it's going to be alongside the first step in the right direction. It's not like they're getting rid of trading chat. That's still going to be there. It's just a alternative for people that don't want to burn their brains out in trading chat.
Let me qualify that. Essentially, unless they manage where you're allowed to set up your shop or kiosk or whatever.
Oh,
imagine
all
and sundry just setting up all their, and what they put as a header for their banner and such things.
I don't know if any of you guys, like, back in the day, a long time ago, I used to play a game called EverQuest, and they had this thing, it was called the Bazaar, where you could actually set yourself up as a merchant and then still use the, the out-of-character chat. And basically, someone would come in and see that you're advertising, you wanted to sell this, and then you know, they would just find your name on a list of merchants, click on it, and then it would like show you a path to that person that was set up like a merchant. And then you just walk up to that person, click on them, and then it would open up a window with the stuff that you want to buy, and then you just buy it right there.
Yep.
I'm wondering if that, I mean, that's, I'm not certain. I don't know if anybody is certain as to what this trading relay is going to be like, but that's what my imagination is. It's and the way that it worked in EverQuest, I thought it was great. You know, switching from, you know, sitting in my Lisette, typing WTS like every 2 minutes, you know, and not getting any hits. It's going to make, you know, a big change. I think it's going to take some of that pressure off. And if you can, log yourself, you know, put some stuff in your inventory or whatever, and set it for sale and just keep yourself there overnight. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely want that.
Yeah. I would say it would need to be a passive, sell on the seller's side so that they like now we have to have where both people put in what they want to trade or whatever, and then they both have to hit accept and it's a whole thing. Whereas this, I think it would work way better if somebody can just come up to it. Like, I would go up to Awesome and go, oh, he has this and this at this price. I want to get that one. And it's just like buying something off the market. You just click on it. It gives them the platinum and it gives you the item. And it's no part on the seller's, like, they don't have to really do anything to do it. You could just go up to them and buy it like you're buying it off a market.
Yeah. Or like even the for the syndicates, when you walk up and you want to get... when you want to turn in your marks, you know, kind of like that. You just walk up and you press those couple buttons and then you hit accept and then that's it. You know, just the same concept where the other person doesn't have to sit there and wait and accept everything. If they just set the limit for how much they want to sell the item for, you come in and you give it to them and walk away.
Yep, that would be sweet. I would use that. I would actually, I've already done it, but disable trade chat on my little chat box window down there. I don't even look at it anymore because I'm like, I just don't even want to deal with it. So this relay, I was very excited for because then I can, let's say I'm going, like right now, Snapdragon stance being a pain in the butt to get.
I could pop in,
I could pop in the relay and go, let's just go check to see if anybody has one. And there you go. Also, is going to mean that, at least from a seller's standpoint, you're going to be able to sell stuff at a little bit higher or at a little bit more accurate price because you're advertising to a smaller number of people at a time. So more like an auction house where you're kind of just setting your price.
They're still going to range,
but it's not going to. You're not going to be competing with 1,000 people in the same chat. You're going to be competing with 50 or less. So you're able to kind of work deals a little bit easier, and at least from a seller's perspective, you might be able to more often get a higher price out of something because there's a lower chance of somebody else in that relay going, "Oh, wait, I'll sell it to you for this price instead." So
it all depends on how they implement it, really.
Yep.
So before I miss the trading relays, move on to something slightly different. I thought what we could do is have a quick look over the highlights from 17.0. What happened? What's come in? People's favourite moments or events. So I got a list here, which listeners can't see, of highlights from 17.0. But before we start, has anyone got anything in particular they wish to mention?
Nope, I'm good.
No, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Maybe one thing I would put on there is Archwing, or that's game mode improvements, but Archwing improvements. But yeah,
so we started off way back in July when 17.0 came out. That came in with the Nala Quest and Equinox, along with Parkour 2.0.
Mm-hmm. All three very, very good additions.
Yeah, major improvements to the game. Changes the dynamic. Changed the dynamic of the game. I kind of miss the coptering, but at the same time, I don't think I would ever want to go back to it.
Cortex, did you ever experience anything other than Parkour 2.0?
Oh, yeah. Oh. The thing that I miss from the previous one is how wall running itself worked. It just looked more ninja.
Yeah, that's the one thing I don't like about the Parkour 2.0 is the walls. I wish it was more, like, if they made it so it looked like the old style and behaved like the old style, but you had the freedom of movement in the new one, so you weren't hopping on the wall, you were actually running, it would make it a lot easier. Because as we said in previous podcasts, there's certain areas and certain walls and stuff that you used to be able to do very easily with wall running are now very difficult because you have to, like, hit your first jump in the right spot or else you're going to overshoot or undershoot on the next hit. So
the next thing on this little list is a personal favorite of mine, which is the twin Grikatas.
Oh, they're great. Absolutely great.
All the Daka Daka Daka.
I'm on the other side of that, actually. I love the Grikata as a primary weapon. I really like the way that they sound, the way they perform. I leveled them up, formoed them a couple times, and haven't touched them since. It's just not for me. It's, again, going back to the way I play with single-shot weapons. It goes for primaries also. I use the Lex Prime Acrid and Ac Magnus and Ac Fasto most of the time. I've never really picked up a full auto weapon for like anything more than just screwing around in one mission. So yeah, I like them. It's cool. I don't like the 5-year-old mentality that the community got when they came out with the whole get Clem to Grikata thing, but the weapons themselves are very, very good.
Well, yeah, the forums will be the forums, I think. So I had the game mode improvements. I'm trying to find them now just to get the specifics.
Well, I know there was the survival one that they completely screwed up and then fixed. So that one really didn't go anywhere, honestly. They made it worse, and then they fixed it, and now it's kind of back where it was before. For those of you who didn't know about it, it was they reduced the amount that the personal life support packs gave you back, and then reduced also the rate at which they spawn, and it got to the point where as someone who ran survival solo, like daily, and who ran Tower 4 survivals daily, it got to the point where I would jump into Ophelia or a Tower 3 survival solo, and I would literally pick up every single life support. I would kill every single enemy. Like, I would try to get life support to last as long as possible, and more than half the time, you would run out before, like, 15 minutes. Like, it was almost, you had to get lucky with your spawns to make it to the 20-minute mark if you're running solo. It was that bad, and it got to another point where they, somewhere in there, they messed up the spawns, so I think I still have a recording, it might be on my laptop, but I did take a recording of me in Ophelia by myself, where I sat in one room for 5 minutes and didn't see a single enemy, because they just were not spawning. So, improvements, quotation marks, they put it back to the way it was and kind of tweaked a little bit, but it's basically the same as it was before.
Did they not also introduce things like the different capture targets?
Different capture targets, yes. Big ups for those. Didn't really make them go take any longer than they used to. It's actually, if anything, they're shorter than used to. You can run through them a little bit quicker. But the capture targets actually being a little bit more tanky and kind of a little bit strategic approach to them is nice. They're still, by all means, one-shot wonders, but it seems a little bit more complicated than it used to be.
Yeah, when you run into something like a Tower 4 capture and all of a sudden you've got a nullifier bubble from the capture target, it makes things really annoying.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, still, I mean, I run captures with my Elemental Heck, or my Sancti Tigris anyway, which has over 100,000 burst DPS, so just pull the trigger once they're dead and run out. So it's the same as before, it's just tankier enemies, so I guess it's a little bit harder for people that aren't completely maxed out on the weapons.
Yeah, other game mode improvements are just generic stuff.
Mm-hmm. Archwing was a big one with the UI update and how the enemies behave and stuff, so that got a big improvement. I really like that. But other than that, yeah, just little tweaks.
So we've touched on a few of the cosmetics earlier, and we ended up with capes. Anybody actually use them?
I used to use the Vanquished banner on everything. That was my favorite out of the capes. I didn't like the big like solid ones, because it was just clipping nightmares with everything. Like, I'm okay with clipping, but when you have a solid shape like that and you have something sticking through it, it's very, very noticeable. Whereas with like some of the other thinner Sindanas, when they clip through stuff, you don't really notice it too much because it's not a solid object with something sticking out of it. I'm kind of midway, meh. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. I use the Telos and the Telos Sindana and the Udiat Sindana the most now anyway, so the really, really long one. So, awesome. How do you think about the capes, Ron Capes?
I think that they are, they're great. They look cool, but I think that they're overdoing it with the capes. I know they want to show off their new ability to, or the new physics and all that stuff, but I think that every Sindana that comes out now is pretty much the same looking cape, and I'm getting a little tired of it, but you know, they're I'm not complaining about them, you know. they're nice looking, you know, and I like the variety. There's definitely a lot more than there used to be, and that's pretty cool. But with the as many as of them that there are now, they're not as they're not as a big deal, as much of a big deal as they were mm-hmm. when there were a limited amount.
Yeah, that's why
everybody has a Sindana now.
Yeah, so I'm excited for the workshop at least, because I've seen some of the Sindanas on there, and some of them are just reskins of ones that we have, but some of the new ones are really nice to see because they're completely different. Like the new Loka-inspired one, where it looks like leafed wings or something. It's kind of the same concept as some of the other ones, but the shape of it is completely different, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. Syndicate Primaries came out, update 17. Had a little bit of kind of back and forth between them. in all, I think they're all very, very good. I remember when the Vakor Hec first came out, I was very against it. But after working with Stoibot and getting some builds together and actually putting it down to actual math and figuring out the differences, it's its own weapon. I really like it. Everything else is kind of the same way. They're similar to their originals, but they're, I guess, built differently than the original one, I guess, except for the Penta.
I think the only thing that's ridiculously different was the gravity gun.
The Simular, yeah. But we had the normal Simular, but yeah, it was just massively buffed, and that thing is ridiculous now. It's so much fun to use.
It is a lot of fun to use. I use that a lot, but I use the Ratka Cernos like pretty much 90% mm-hmm. of the time. It's become my favorite primary weapon.
Yep.
And I'd say my second favorite is probably the Synoid Simular. So
yeah, Tigris for me.
Very, very popular or very powerful weapons, and I'm happy with them. You know, I don't have any grievances about the Syndicate primaries. I think they did a great job with them.
Here's a question for you guys. I've heard a couple guys in our clan do this a couple times, but if you had to rank them from best to worst for the Syndicate primaries, which order would you go with? Just in terms of like ruling out, I guess, damage, like comparing them to each other in terms of damage, just like how much you like each weapon.
I'd probably go Ratka Cernos first, obviously, being the best. Synoid Simular second. Third, I'd say, is probably the Tigris. Fourth would be the Hec or whatever, the Vakor Hec. Fifth, and I don't know, it's a toss up between the Penta and the Voltor, yeah. I think that the Voltor was kind of it's overdone. You know, I'm not a big fan. I like the Voltor Prime, mm-hmm. but the Syndicate one, it just seems very underwhelming.
Those kind of the same order for me, except I would probably switch the Tigris and the Simular for me.
Personally, I'd probably put Hec and Simular first, and probably rank everything similar, probably with the Cernos slightly higher, just because I don't particularly like many of them. They're all alright. I'm kind of stuck on the Quanta Vandal at the moment. it's a really bad habit, but it does so much damage, and I can combine it with Banshee to do even more damage, and there's not a lot that I can't kill in half a second, so...
I've only tried the Vakor Hec, and I use it primarily with Banshee.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's one of those weird things. That was the thing that there was a huge thing with the Vakor, was, is it better than the normal Hec? And I think after a lot of testing with it and kind of going back and forth, if you have access to a primed Ravage for shotguns, and it is rank 8 or higher, I believe, it will do more damage over time than the normal Hec. Without just a normal, just if you just have a normal Ravage on there, it's about on par with the regular Hec. But also keep in mind that the Vakor Hec is a sustained DPS weapon, while the regular Hec is a burst DPS.
At the same time, it kind of the Vakor Hec, it opens up a mod slot because you don't have to put the Syndicate mod in it. Like you'd put the Syndicate mod inside the regular Hec.
Yeah, so you're basically replacing the multi-shot with more damage.
Right. So it does make it better. Mm-hmm. In that sense.
Yep. And like I said before, it's a sustained weapon, whereas the regular Hec is the burst. And I personally like the regular Hec a little bit better just because my playstyle is more bursty. So, but yeah, they're both very, very good. It's kind of like the Voltor Prime versus Soma Prime. They're pretty much dead even, just they're used for different things.
Fair enough. Right, skipping over a few. We got the improved VoIP.
I haven't used it, so I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah, I never use the in-game. I'm always, you know, I always group up with clannies, and... I don't even know the last time I grouped with pubbies. So we got TeamSpeak that we're on, and you know, team speaks a requirement in our clan. So every time I am in a group, it's with a clanny, and I never use the in-game voice over IP.
Yeah, I've used it a couple times since they updated it. Honestly, if they didn't say that they updated it, if they just kind of stealth changed it without saying it, I personally wouldn't have noticed a big difference. I did notice after they changed it that people are louder, and I had to keep turning it down. But the overall quality, like in terms of like distortion and static, didn't seem changed too much. It seemed like the person's mic, because if we used somebody that was in TeamSpeak in game, it basically the person who had the better mic sounded vastly better. But if you had a like a lower end mic or just a mic that didn't work as great, it sounded exactly the same as it used to. So yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where it could have done it better, I guess, or just kind of not even bothered with it, because I don't really notice a difference other than everything being louder.
Have you used it at all, Cortex?
I will second mostly what River has said. It just seems louder. It does really depend on where people are from. In my experience, people, say, Eastern Europe and beyond, in reference from the UK, the sound quality is still pretty poor. But I don't know if that's people's mics, their setup. You know, there's so many factors in this.
I think personally, when I was testing it, I have a pretty good mic, so, and also pretty decent headphones. Like I said, a lot of people tend not to spend the money on the microphone, so it's not particularly improved much. But when you've got decent equipment, the in-game is actually pretty solid.
It's like it makes the good equipment better and doesn't really do anything for the bad equipment.
That's mainly because you can't improve the bad equipment.
Yeah.
You know. But I've used it a couple of times and it works, and it will be nice as time goes on and people, you know, upgrade and things generally get better. But it was certainly one of the older systems in the game that it's nice that it finally got a revamp. And now it's something completely different. Enemies.
I don't think we've talked about these guys yet, because they came out when Valkyr Skin came out. And I don't think we talked about them on that podcast, or at least very much.
I, if I'm honest, I still haven't really seen them.
If you want to look for them, by the way, they dropped the Gaia's Tragedy stance for the stance that came out with the Tekkos. It's a new fist stance. The way that I've been finding them, they're very, very rare in survivals and anything else. But if you can do like a rank, I mean, even if you go to, it seemed like when we were farming for the stance, if you go to Io on Jupiter, the defense there, it seems like you get one every 10th wave. So on the 10th wave and the 20th wave, you would get one usually. On Europa, any defense mission on Europa, it seemed like you would get one or two every 5 waves. So every 5th wave, you would get a couple.
I see them on the spy missions, like Oceana spy mission. You get a couple of those spawn into that mission. None of them have dropped Gaia's Tragedy for me, though. I still don't have that.
Yeah, me neither. I wish they were harder. It's basically just kind of like another enemy that has a special effect. They're not. I mean, most of the time they die, and I don't even notice that they were there. Yeah. So I wish.
Shot them with my Radgas Arnos, so.
Yeah, I wish they were kind of similar to like the Juggernaut, where it's something that you kind of have to pay attention to, and if it's around, to make sure you take care of it, because at the moment it's just hit them like they're a normal enemy and they're pretty much good. I know you're supposed to knock the helmet off, but I've body shot them and one shot them plenty of times, so they just need to be tankier or have more of an impact on what they're supposed to do to you.
When they released these, I was leveling a stealth frame mainly in spy missions, and like early on a couple of them jumped me hard, but after a while, like you say, you don't even notice they're there, so they either need to make them far more frequent and not change much about them, or if they're going to be as rare as they currently are, then make them worth their while, never mind ours.
Yeah, it just kind of, it seems like a with the way that they disrupt the UI and stuff, it's like a modified version of the nullifier, just nowhere near as intrusive. So, I don't know. They need to be buffed, my opinion. Another thing that came out recently, the Warframe duration changes, or technically efficiency channeled ability changes, where instead of just for, like, for instance, Mace's Peacemaker, which also got changed, we'll go over that, I guess, next, but the Mace's Peacemaker, Soundquake on Banshee, Valkyr's Hysteria, stuff that was, well, I guess Valkyr's Hysteria got completely changed, but stuff that was toggleable, so you could turn the ability on, it's there until you turn it off again, or you run out of energy. Basically, from just stacking efficiency on there, it is now based on duration. So your efficiency is the casting cost and has a little effect on the drain, but mostly the duration is to slow the rate at which it drains. So a lot of frames now, like Ember, where you used to build efficiency and a lot of power strength, now you're building kind of a mix of power strength, duration, and efficiency. And the same thing for all the other frames as well. I personally really like it. I think it's much, much better than before in terms of Mesa, as she was my main frame at the time when they made the change. I didn't have to change anything on her, and it basically made her the way that I think DE intended her to be played, as a duration frame that has a casting ability, not just a turret. But every other frame seems to have benefited it from it in some way or another.
Yeah, this is one of those things that I really hated when it first came out, mainly because I was trying to figure the maths out at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and it just wasn't working. Mm-hmm.
And that was you and me, Bob, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, me and you on release when it came out, and we were sat in a channel just going, what is this? Why does it do this? And yeah, I think after playing with it for a couple of weeks, it's kind of grown on us, and I enjoy it now. I think it's,
well, it's because every frame that has one of those channeled abilities, some other or multiple of their other abilities are duration based. Like every single frame has that, like that has that channeled ability. So it's nice to be able to mod for more of your abilities. If, like, for instance, if you're going Exalted Blade, Excalibur, you can put a crap ton of duration on there, and all of a sudden now you have an Excalibur that has a blind that lasts forever, and you can still use Exalted Blade as much as you want. So it opens up more abilities to be used on Warframes instead of just using one.
Oh yeah, I still think the only annoying thing about it is it's really quite difficult explaining it to new players.
Yeah.
Like, why does duration affect the efficiency?
Yeah, so basically, when I get that question, it's efficiency is now mostly your casting cost and the amount drained. The duration slows down the drain rate. So the more duration you have, the slower it will drain energy, and the efficiency is just how much. So you kind of can balance the two. Usually for any of those, I go as much duration as I can. If I don't put Narrow-Minded on there because I want a range, then I'll put a Streamline and possibly a Fleeting Expertise, depending on what I want to do with it. But yeah, it seems like it might have been there before, but we didn't notice it because efficiency was always capped at 175%. But now, if you pay attention when you're making a build for one of those efficiency builds or loadouts, to check, constantly be checking, like, out of duration mod, then check your abilities tab, because now it shows the effect of the mods on there, and look at the efficiency. So, like, because now they may have had the cap before, but now they're all capped at a certain point. Like, with, if you build max efficiency, just Streamline and Fleeting Expertise on Banshee, your Soundquake should use about 3 energy a second. If you build full duration and you put Prime Continuity, Constitution, Streamline on there, you're already at that 3 second. And if you put Narrow-Minded on there, it doesn't go any lower. You're just getting more duration and loss of range for no, like, you're not making that drain even smaller. So I think just people have to pay attention or kind of realize that there is a cap on these abilities now for efficiency and how much or how small of a drain you can have on them. And it is possible to overcap and start losing stats in other areas for no reason. So yeah, that's the only thing I have to say about being careful with it. Other than that, go duration crazy.
Yeah, so, skipping over, I think, the next two, we get to the introduced Warframes, which I think we've had Equinox, Atlas, and Trinity Prime, and now Wukong in the end.
Mm-hmm. Equinox, cool. I don't really play her much anymore. I'm kind of waiting for, I don't know, probably update 18 or something. I really want to try her with a range duration build for like a sleep build, but now with Avara coming out, I don't know, because that has a sleep concept in it also. So, but yeah, she was fun. Atlas is cool. Super, super strong. Really, really good at ODD. If you build for his rumblers with just all out power, strength, and duration, his rumblers really, really work well in some defense missions. And Trinity Prime, obviously, it's Trinity. It can't be bad. Unlimited energy or invulnerability. I mean, you can't go wrong with either way. So,
I put Equinox down when they stealth nerfed the synergy with Banshee. Mm-hmm. So,
which still works with Ember, so it's a little bit annoying that it's
yeah.
What I believe it's down to, by the way, is it depends whether or not Banshee's sonar dots are hitting on the torso of the target, because Ember hits the torso with a slash prox from Equinox just happened to the mob.
Yeah, it's either a, like, Equinox's maim is a full body hit, whereas Ember is it hits a point. So it can proc because it's a single point hit.
Doesn't Ember also do AoE?
It does AoE, but the initial hit is a single point hit, just like if you were to shoot that enemy. Whereas Maim was just an instant full body like bleed proc. It didn't have any like initial hit on it. It was just they entered the zone, they started bleeding. And I think that's why it got changed, because it wasn't a point damage like you would get if you were shooting something or hitting something with an ability. They just enter the zone, they start taking that slash proc.
Yeah, man, Atlas was nice. Trinity Prime was alright, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And I think that just about sums up 17 in total.
Yep.
Time we do one of these.
We finally got the Mios. I wanted to add that in. We finally got the Mios after a year and a half that thing win, or be in the top three at least for the competition. And I thought it was kind of funny that the number three was so far the best weapon out of the three that came out of that competition, because it was the Mios got third, the Sylvan Aegis got first, and what got second? The Cronin got second. And the Sylvan Aegis is not great. The Cronin are a little bit better. They're actually pretty damn good, and the Mios is personally by far the best out of the three, and it got third place.
Yeah,
so it's like it went backwards.
I just wish that the Mios was a little faster, that's all. A
little bit, yeah.
Well, you can't have everything.
Yeah.
Don't put Spoiled Strike on there.
Yeah, weapons gotta have some disadvantages to it, I guess, right? Well,
I guess with, now I think about it, with my build on there, I put Fury on there instead of Berserker, because I didn't like how slow it was. And just with a Fury on there, it's at a 1.4 attack speed, so it's not that bad without Berserker. You just don't get the extra attack speed, but you have a faster starting area. And if you're using it like I do and use the charge attack for the whip for the first attack to get that stun, using the Fury I felt was a little bit better, because you could get that off faster. It's not the super long animation.
For me, the biggest problem with the weapon is the fact that the stance refuses to drop for me.
So I also wish, I know it's technically classified as a dagger. I mean, if you haven't gotten like all your daggers done yet and you still have the dagger proficiency stuff, Loving the Mios might have given you the dagger proficiency. So it is held across the waist sideways. For how big it is, I really think it should be over the left shoulder like a sword is. Maybe just straight down the left side of the Warframe, because it's the same issue I had with the Dex Dacra. It's just too big. It sticks out too far. It looks weird. So, yeah. If they changed the placement, or even had it, if you've noticed when you holster the weapon, they put it, and it's kind of angled, like the handle at the bottom right by your right hip, and then the tip of the blade is up by your left shoulder, and then it snaps back down. If they kept it at that angle, or that reversed angle where the handle is down by your right hip, I think that would be a really cool placement for it also. Because right now it kind of glitches from that angle back down to a snap, and it looks weird. And same thing when you pick it back up, it snaps up, and then you pull it out. So yeah, other than that, I think that sums up 17 all the way. We kind of skipped over the quests and stuff, but we've gone over that stuff before. And the Nauta quest especially is spoiler heavy, like big time, if you haven't done it yet. So I think we'll stay away from that this time. We've talked about it before multiple times, so...
So, yeah, that just about sums up 17.0. Hopefully, by the next time we do one of these, 18 should have dropped. And we'll all be playing that furiously.
Yep, we'll be able to go over all the new stuff, including, hopefully, the Orican Moon. They've been teasing the crap out of it, so I'm assuming it's going.
And we'll finally find out what actual Warframes are. What, nearly 3 years after Warframe came out, I'm going to finally find out what we are.
I'm really interested in Stalker. I've always been a fan of Stalker. And before Stalker's the good guy, apparently, hopefully, maybe.
Spoiler.
Hopefully, maybe. I don't know. We have no idea. He could be anything, but. Yeah.
So just be crazy like a Stalker.
Yeah, he could be mentally unbalanced and unstable and just power hungry.
Just to round the podcast off, update 18, in one word, what are you looking forward to? Awesome.
One word, what am I looking forward to?
Or one thing that they're adding.
One thing, yeah.
The new Warframe. Ivara.
River?
I would also have to say Ivara. I've been waiting for her for a very long time. I'd say close second is the moon, the new tile set for the moon, hopefully.
Cortex?
Because I don't really follow what's coming until it arrives. For me, I'm just hoping for like a little bit more story or explanation as to Wagwan.
So that would be, I guess, the second dream quest?
Yeah, second dream. And I think I'd have to agree with that. I'm very much looking forward to the lore and finally getting some clear answers. So.
Yeah. Steve showed off just one more thing. Steve showed off three images on the dev stream, and it put no context to anything. The first one was a tree of some sort. Looked like a leaning tree. Some people have guessed that it's something to do with the sentience. I personally am siding with the people that are saying that it's a tree for the lotus, something to do with the lotus in her area, because remember, they're modeling her out to have a section where you actually get to meet the lotus, and there's always been stuff around here involving trees, so that's my guess. There's also other things that they added, and I have no idea about anything else. So the tree one hit me, and I couldn't figure out anything else that he showed. So, yeah. So,
that does it. So, for me and everybody else here, thank you for joining us. And hopefully we'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Take it easy.